Can you just bow your head and close your eyes with me just a second? I just want you to know this morning, not any kind of statement about me or anything, just compelled by the Holy Spirit that's here yesterday. Many of you may have saw it, but 53 chairs in this place, and I'll be honest, I didn't think they'd be filled today, and that's okay. But I did go over each chair, and I just physically touched each chair. Nothing powerful about that, but I prayed yesterday in this space. God, whoever you want to sit in this chair, would you bless them tomorrow? Would you help them meet with you? Would you help walls come down? Would you help connections for the first time? Would you help reconnect those who maybe are at a distance? Would you join me in just as we pray this morning? Father, that was my prayer yesterday, and my prayer remains the same today. Knowing that you didn't bring people here by accident, they were prayed for yesterday, of who was going to sit where they sit. And so those prayers yesterday were said in this room, and Father, just to meet with people today. I believe you have that in store. In fact, in preparing this week, just words to me and words I believe you've given me for this group at this time and this place today. And Father, in all honesty, it's not many words that you've given me. In fact, you're the orchestrator of it. Your Holy Spirit today will be a different feel than most Sundays. But God, I trust that you have a reason and that you want to meet with your people. And you don't so much want a performance from me or to hear from me, but God, your Holy Spirit wants to deal just one-on-one with people today. And so, Father, for my part, I pray that you speak. For your part, we just trust and know that you'll show up and that you'll meet with people today. That's difficult for me at times to trust when I feel something different. I'm just so conditioned in habit and ritual and religion. But Father, I just pray this and trust. 100% I trust you. I go ahead and claim in the name of Jesus that walls will fall today. There'll be sweet remembrance of you, and that people will maybe meet you for the first time today, and that people will absolutely just fall back in love with you today. Father, that those that may be carrying just heavy baggage and hurt and disappointment and all the things that maybe come from that those things will be forgotten today. Father, I guess my biggest prayer is just understanding and claiming right now in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus, that there will be victory today. I trust you in that. And so, Father, we just say, have your way in this place. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And as I just prayed, I don't have many words today that the Holy Spirit has led me to. I have some. Let's, without further ado, let's get to it and do business with the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Last week, we continued on this idea of submission and suffering and all these things. And you hate to throw the word suffering out and then to say last week we talked about marriage, okay? Not necessarily in that sense, but we did see this submissive order. And it's really been this free-flowing letter from Peter to this church of the dispersion, these who were scattered and persecuted because of their faith and their firm stance in the fact that Jesus Christ is their everything, right? No matter what it costs them, even their very life, saying that Jesus is my everything. And Peter continues to write about submitting and honoring God in our life and all of these things, and we continued to look at that last week. Last week, I gave some examples of some healthy marriage relationships that I'd say not perfect, because nobody has a perfect marriage relationship. If they're telling you that, the only thing perfect about their relationship is they are a perfectly good liar, okay? Lying to your face. No relationship is perfect, all right? But these are people that in every case, every instance that I read to you, had emails and shared with you just very brief, even over the amount that I read, but over and over and over, without question, every couple at some point or another said, God's way is best. When we found God's way, that was best. When we stuck to God's way, that is best. I want to tell you this morning that that's true beyond marriage relationship. That's just life. You say, Keith, no duh, right? That's real elementary. We understand God's way is best. And I want to say this, while we may understand that with our head, sometimes it's very difficult to understand that with our heart, with our spirit, with our soul, everything within us, because we say that in our mind. We understand God's way is best, but yet somehow, sometimes we live life so different. Right? We can sing the words on the screen, and it's really easy to do, but sometimes just in the hustle and bustle of life, the things that happen, it's very easy to forget that God's way is best. It's marriage and above else, every other thing in life. This week is going to be pretty straightforward, and as I said, not your typical Sunday. If you will, let's read from chapter 3. I want to start at verse 8. And read to verse 11, and we'll talk about that for just a few moments. Finally, all of you have unity in mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and let his lips keep from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and let him do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. I want to stop just there for a second and continue in looking at these verses just kind of one by one in a very quick way this morning. Go back to verse 8 just a second. I want you to see this very first statement here, this unity of mind. This reminds me of a leadership meeting we had not too long ago where we discussed this very idea. The unity of mind, of taking us back to the book of Acts and thinking about this like mind. And we read that and we get this warm and tender feeling when you read that and we say, well, man, God's people, every time they get together, if they're united in the name of Christ, there ought to be just this giant love fest and everybody just agree 100% of the time. Because Jesus tells us that we're to have unity in mind. So that means that we've got to walk out of here and be in 100% agreement of every single thing that's ever said in this place. And I want you to know the Greek word for that is hogwash. It's not going to happen. It's just not. Here's a news flash. You will not agree with everything I ever said. You just won't. Some of you may be sitting in this place this morning and say, I don't agree with what you're saying right now, right? Like, sometimes that happens, but here's a newsflash for you. Here's a shocker. I don't always agree with you, and that's okay. Really, what this passage is talking about is that there is such a single focus, such a focus on Christ, that really all the other stuff that we disagree on really doesn't matter. Right? Be it some big theological thought, be it some small minute detail of how things should look or what things should be like, really it comes down to having common ground. It takes us to the idea of Acts 2:44. When it talks about these believers that they gathered together in 42 when they were listening to the apostles' teaching and breaking bread and having fellowship, then it gets to 44 and it says they had all things in common. All things in common didn't mean that they sat around and sang kumbaya and were never disagreeable. You can see arguments that happen in Scripture, but here's what the deal was. These people were so focused on Christ that their purpose was unified. They were able to set aside the differences, set aside beliefs, set aside different things of what does it mean to have the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? What does this mean? What does that mean? And they were saying, it really doesn't matter. Let's get back to Christ. Christ is what matters. And so that's what Peter is telling here. Again, remember the audience, these people who are pushed and pressed and persecuted and scattered and all of these things, some even losing their very life. And I guarantee you, in here, word had gotten back to Peter that some are questioning, hey, is this really what we ought to be doing? Right? Should we really be running? Maybe the idea of the coming of Christ, how they thought Christ was going to be this conquering general. Maybe we should get together militarily and go back and take the city and do this and do that, and we'll show them who's boss. And then you got some that probably said, we'll just run and we'll never be heard from again and all these things, and we'll just hide from these people. And then you got some that said, I'll tell you what, I think, guys, we need to get back to the idea that we need to unify in Christ. And so Peter tells them, have unity of mind. He tells us some more things here, but I want you just to think about this single focus. And if I can, just in a moment like this, I want you to understand this pastor's heart. I may not always get things right, but I want you to know what I believe God has given us a vision to do in this place is preparing people to encounter Almighty God. I don't care where they're at in life. If they've ever met Him or if they've yet to meet Him, will meet Him, have disconnected from Him and need to reconnect, that we prepare people, no matter what we do, to encounter a holy God. But Peter doesn't stop here with just the idea of unity. Listen to what he says. Sympathy. Brotherly. Can I just be politically correct this morning and just allow me to add a little word I like to call sisterly? I like that word. Brotherly and sisterly love, right? A tender heart and a humble mind. Can I just throw a big word at you this morning and just say, wow. I mean, listen to this. Peter talking to the church, these who are persecuted, who know in a very instance could lose their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's what he tells them about the people who are persecuting them, chasing them, hunting them down like wild animals. Here's what he says. Finally, all of you have unity in mind. Have some sympathy for them. Show brotherly and sisterly love with each other. Have a tender heart and have a humble mind. You know, I think it would be very easy to get a hardened heart if someone is chasing you down, wanting to kill you for your very belief, and you know it's the truth, and you're suffering for doing good. It would be hard. It'd be real easy to get a hard heart, but he says, have a tender heart. Can I just ask a question this morning? This is for the global church. This is for everyone. But what if we just dumbed this down this morning to this body right here? If this community saw a people, right? A group of people, listen to this, who were described as a unified group of mind, a sympathetic group, a group that showed brotherly and sisterly love, a group that had a tender heart, a group that had a humble mind. I want to tell you, people would be changed for the sake of the gospel if they saw it. And I say, wow, I read passages like this, and if I'm honest, if I'm completely honest this morning, I say, man, I want to pastor a group like that. And then I look at my own life and say, well, I'm the pastor. I don't even know that I resemble. I don't even know if all that's there in me. So, God, how can I lead? And God, just a gentle, sweet reminder, sitting back in that very chair that Jack is sitting in and praying over these chairs yesterday morning, he said, God said, I'll do that. I'll meet with the people. It doesn't have to all be on you, Keith, right? I'm the one that does this. I'm the one that needs to be the head of this thing. I'm the one that will push in that direction. And he just a gentle, sweet reminder that if we want to be that kind of group, it starts one person at a time. One person sitting in your seat right now reading 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, and seeing this, unity in mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind, not saying, well, I'm not going to have a tender heart until Christopher has a tender heart, right? I'm not going to have unity in mind until Donald has unity in mind. I'm not going to do that until, no, you do that. And let the rest fall in line and see your example living in a way that God has called us to through the scripture this morning. Be that person. Listen to this. Again, remember the audience here. Persecuted to the point of death, have lost friends and family, have lost ways of life, who have seen everything, some of them, everything that they had, to the point of saying, all I have left is the gospel. And here is what Peter tells them. Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling. I want to just tell you, just to stop right there. If we could just put a period at that and say that that is all Peter said, that would be enough to drive some of us absolutely bonkers. right, to a point of having evil things done to us and reviled against us. And here Peter tells me that as a believer, as a child of God, as someone who has experienced grace, I'm to come to a place where when someone hurts me, I don't repay that evil with evil. Come on. That's not in my nature, right? I mean, deep within my prideful self, when someone hurts me, I want to hurt them. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. It's real easy, right, to have that mentality. But listen to this. Peter does not stop there. Listen, he doesn't just say, don't repay evil for evil and stop and drop the mic and walk off. He goes even further. He says, on the contrary, let me tell you what you need to do. Bless. Now that's a mic drop. Don't repay evil for evil. Bless. Peter, I'm out. Right? I mean, that's crazy. Think about this. He says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. Now, if we stopped right there, that would be even more amazing, right? To say, okay, how do I do that? I mean, you're telling me I don't need to repay the evil that's been done to me for evil, and now I'm supposed to bless? But listen to what he says. This is what you were called to. Uh-oh. I'm meddling now. If you got flip-flops, it might hurt. This is a little toe step. But here's what Peter says this morning. Peter in Scripture tells, don't repay evil for evil. Bless them, for this is what you were made for. You, right now, check it. I have you do it sometimes. Check the pulse. I want to physically see you check the pulse. If you don't have one this morning, we got Anna. She's a nurse. She can help you. She can attend to you. Right? If you've got one this morning and you somehow have come to a place where you understand the grace and the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and you've been redeemed, listen to me, bought back, amen? Amen, bought back with a precious price, His blood, then you were made for this moment and you were made to come to a place where you don't repay evil for evil, even if it's somebody's loss. Hello, even if it's a brother or sister in Christ, but you bless. Because this is what you were made for. In other words, Peter is saying, if you're living life any differently than this, that is not what you were created for and then recreated for. God brought you from death to life so that you could bless those who do bad against you. Now, wouldn't this be amazing if this was all just some cosmic way to get back at people? Right? I mean, that's all this was about, is just to come to a place and say, well, I told you so, I'm better than you. That's not what it's about. Go back in the idea of 1 Peter. This is all for whose sake? The Lord's sake. Over and over we see this in 1 Peter. For the Lord's sake, suffer. For the Lord's sake, submit. For the Lord's sake, all of this. For the Lord's sake, because this is what you were called to. And then he adds a little cherry on top. So you may obtain a blessing. Who in here wants a blessing? Amen? Yeah. Roy was about to rip his arm out of the side. He wants a blessing, right? And we all may have different versions of what that blessing looks like, but here he's about to tell us what one of these blessings could look like. And he continues on. Look what it says. He's quoting here from Psalm 34, and it says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, that sounds like a blessing to me. Let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Boy, he's then went in and really got on us now, because he's talking about those who've done evil against us, those who have hurt us, those who have sought to do damage to us. And he's saying, don't speak any deceit on your mouth. Don't slander them. Don't talk about them. Because that's not what you were called to. That's not what you were made for. To keep from evil and all of these things. But listen to this. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him speak peace and pursue it. Those who have done bad against you, that you bless and that you pursue that life. That's what you were called to. That's what you were made for, separated from the Lord's sake. You understand that God's chosen people from the very beginning, nothing out of their own doing, but chosen and separated to represent Him. That is what you're called to. That is what you are made for. And if you're completely honest like me this morning and all of our faults and all of our things, you look in the mirror and you say, boy, that does not really resemble me. Because if we're honest this morning, and I just want you to know this is my heart. This isn't for show. This isn't some, I'm going to knock me down or anything. But when I look at this, I look a whole lot like the world. And that's not what I'm called to. I was made for more than that. And there's nothing special about me, except I've been bought with a price. And Scripture says it was a precious price, man. It's not one that we just sing about because there's words on the screen, but this really happened. A precious price that was paid for me, not to live how I wanted to, but for Him to be my Lord, and for the Lord's sake to live in such a way that I bless those who do evil to me. Anybody want to just admit this morning that that's tough? Can I throw a Greek word? That's tough as doo-doo. I just want to say doo-doo this morning. I don't know why. It just felt right. That's tough. Right? I mean, that is just so against everything that forgets society. Everybody say, well, society says to look out for... Forgets. I'm talking about me. That's so tough. For everything that I feel. You do that to me, I'm going to do that back to you. In fact, I'm going to one-up you. I'm going to try to do it worse. Right? That's my heart. That's my prideful heart. But He says, you were called to something greater than that, and for the Lord's sake. Here's where I believe God wants to really speak this morning. Hopefully He has already. Read verse 12 with me and just hear my heart on this. I think where God took me this morning. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer. Listen, again, remember the audience here. He's talking to people that are persecuted, that are beaten, that are battered, that are running, that are scared, that have no idea what's going on, and they're doing the right thing. And Peter's reminding them, listen, this isn't a new idea. Back from the Old Testament, back in Psalm, you know Psalm. Here's what Psalm says. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer. He's just telling them, keep doing what is right, because the Lord is looking on you. The Lord hears you. He's not forgot about you. But then He adds this, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You know what Peter's telling them here? This is temporary. This is temporary. Right? All of these people that are doing evil, He sees that too. God is keeping score. God has got this. And He understands that while you may suffer here for His sake, because there's a grander purpose, here's a brilliant news flash for you this morning. You see the ticker on the screen. Life does not revolve around you. I know that hurts this morning. It hurts me because I am all about me. I love me, right? I think I'm a pretty good guy sometimes, and I probably have too big a head about that. I feel good about myself, but life is not about me. It's not about for my sake, it's for the Lord's sake. And so Peter is reminding them here that while you may be suffering right now for righteousness, while you might be suffering in all these things, it is for the Lord's sake, and the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. I don't know about you this morning, but I look at this, and I'm really just chilled to the bone when I read verse 12, because there's two people described. One that the eyes of the Lord and the ears of the Lord are open to, and one that they are not. And here's what He says. Those who are righteous, that's who God hears. Those who are evil, He does not. And I just want to tell you, if I examine my life and I look at what really being righteous is, I look at this and say, man, is the face of the Lord against me? Because, man, I got evil stuff in my heart. I got prideful things in my heart. And here's where it says, the righteous, the Lord, His eyes are on and His ears are open to their prayer. I just ask you a question this morning. Who do you want to be in that scenario? Want to be the righteous? I know that's tough to look at us and say, this ragtag group of people could be considered righteous. More on that just in a second. Or do you want to be those who are evil that the Lord has turned against and said, I don't want to hear from that. Well, here's good news. When we look and we see our prideful heart, when we see our wanting to repay evil for evil, I just want to tell you that this may sound elementary, but I want to bring you back to the sake of the gospel. We're going to take Lord's Supper in just a little while. And really, it's about what's represented here. That's how we're righteous. It's for when those moments come and there's conviction over my pride that I can say, God, I need your Holy Spirit to give me humility right now. When anger comes up, God, I need you to give me peace because here's what's welling up inside of me. But here's what we do, most of us. I won't put you in the same boat with me. But what most of us do is we come in and we have the anger, we have the pride, we have all those things. We sit in a black padded chair on a Sunday morning and act as if everything's okay. And we're not even honest with God, not honest with ourselves, not honest with our community. And we just fake it. I don't know about you. I don't want to fake it till I make it. I just want to come to the Lord and say, I want to be righteous. I want there to be so much conviction in my life when something kind of turns and flips the script and I try to go on my own way, that God, you speak to me. You just bring me back to a place where I can remember that it's about your righteousness that can come out through me, because there ain't nothing good in here. So I don't know about you, if that's you this morning. I just wrote down a few things that maybe God would speak this morning. If God's eyes are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer, I want to be in that camp and I want our church to be. Really, there's no middle ground here. He doesn't just have, well, for you religious, then you're kind of okay, right? It's either the good or the evil. And listen to some of the things that was in Scripture this morning. Unity of mind. Prayer for sympathy. Brotherly love. Tender hearts. Humble mind. I want you to know that just in this room right here, there are too many different beliefs to even count. I mean, just bring it on a spiritual thing. There are different beliefs in this room. And here's a just thought on that. It's okay. It really is. It's okay. Brantley, you're one of the best friends in the world, man. And me and you disagree a lot, don't we? Right? I mean, it just happens. But here's the thing that we come back to is the brotherly love of the fact that Christ has called us to this. It's about Christ, right? And as long as we feel that Christ is the answer, then we're all good, right? That's unity in mind and all these things. And so this morning I pray that walls fall, encounters with Christ first, and renewals. I just want to say this morning, I didn't know we were seeing it. We need you, right? Lord, we need you. And so if you're with me this morning, I just prayed over these chairs that God would meet with us. Here's what he told me to do. I really feel in my heart of hearts, it was no audible voice. I don't want you to check me into a hospital or anything like that. Not saying God can't speak that way, but to me it was just a check within my spirit to go over these verses briefly. And we're a group that says, man, we want to be a praying people. We want to be a praying people. I just thought, man, why not, instead of God just hearing from me, speak to you, let's speak to him. And here's what I just challenged this morning. I don't know what God's got in store. I really don't. I just feel like he said, get them to this place right here. And all I've done is I think we're in the 15-passenger van, and we've rolled up, and we're at the stop, and it's up to you and what you allow God to speak into your heart right now. And so here's what I challenge. I really want to come into a place of prayer. I want to come into a place of just honesty and vulnerability before God. You use your discretion on that. But here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to come to a time of prayer and let's just do now I lay me down to sleep stuff. I just don't want that. I want to be real before God. I want a people that's real before God, and that we just tell them we need you. Because if I'm honest, even going back a few weeks and hearing stories about, like, in Egypt, where people are seeing dreams and visions and coming to Christ, and people are having these unreal stories about the Holy Spirit of God, I just want to confess to you, I do not have the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't. And if I'm really honest, and this might be very transparent and too transparent, sometimes your pastor, who's called by God, and I know the Lord and all these things, when I don't have that power of the Holy Spirit, sometimes it makes me doubt if I even have the Holy Spirit. How about that newsflash? How about it makes me feel like, God, is this thing real? I mean, is this really? I mean, is this really true? I mean, it's so good. Is it too good to be true? And gratefully, God always brings me back to a place where he gently reminds me, yes, I'm real. I'm here. And all of these things, but if I'm honest, I have those thoughts. Maybe you do too. And I thought, if I have those thoughts and you have those thoughts, why not let's just be honest with it? Because if we think we're fooling the cosmic creator of the universe, And how arrogant are we? That you can have a secret tucked back somewhere in your heart and somewhere in your mind, and you think God don't know about it. He knows you. He created you. He's just waiting to break through. He's waiting to break down walls. He's waiting for us to be the people that He just called us to be. And really, that may sound like this great pressure. It may sound like, man, I have to jump through these hoops. No, I think He's just waiting for an honesty, a vulnerability to say, I can't do that on my own. And just like we sang this morning, I need you. I need you. Don't be so prideful just to think you can do it on your own. So this morning, I want to open up just a time of prayer. And I hope that God would look at us and say, man, that is a righteous group of people. And my ear is turned their way and my eyes are open to them. And so however God leads in this time, I got no clue. God is good about that. He'll give you a little bit of it and tell you to go forward and just leave the rest to Him. And so that's what this time is. We'll use it to let Him do as He sees fit. And then take the Lord's Supper together, those who feel led to do that. If you just bow your head and close your eyes, and let me just start us with this. I have no elaborate words to pray. Honestly, don't know where to start. So I'm going to start here. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him speak peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Father God, would your eyes be on us this morning? Would your ears be open to us? I just want to admit before my brothers and sisters, I can't do this life alone. I need you, and I need them. Help us be the people you want us to be. Messages. Keep head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. And we come to a place that we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. Scripture tells us that's something that we shouldn't do lightly. And so, in the vein of honesty and transparency, not necessarily before each other, but with your Heavenly Father. If there's anything really that you need to lay at His feet right now before you would consider taking the Lord's Supper, maybe take that time now just to focus on that and remember in your own personal way. I'll share some things from there. Lord, you are good. You want to amen that?
Amen.
We love you. Even when sometimes it seems that maybe in our selfish nature or pride, living in the flesh, it doesn't appear so, but God bringing us to a time like this, and just to stop and breathe you in, just to feel your holy presence this morning, just to just stop and be still. Father, it brings us to a place where we realize that there's more going on in this place than just us, that you've called us to a great purpose as individuals and as a body. And Father, we just echo again, you're good and we need you. Father, many great things said to you, and Father, I believe from a pure heart, an honest heart, and God, I believe you're pleased with that. So, thank you for leading us in that way this morning. I pray that just as we continue to worship together as a family, this is a family meal that we would take. God, that you would just bless that time and that we could have sweet remembrance of the cross and your body and that was broken in your blood that was shed. We love you, God. We thank you for Jesus. Holy Spirit, continue to move in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Coming to a time like this today, just for time's sake and the way we're scattered, kind of about just to give you our thoughts on the Lord's Supper. This, as I said, is a family meal. When I say that, I don't mean the church at Southside family. This is a church meal, a meal that He commanded us to take together, and every time that we would do that, it would be in remembrance of Him. The only stipulation we ever put on the Lord's Supper is that you know Him, that you have a personal relationship with Him. And so if you see nothing blocking that way, like there's an unrepentant heart, then maybe you should not take this morning. But if there's something you can lay down and say, God, forgive me, I want to come back to you in a close and clean relationship, then by all means, take it. So if you know Him and you want to participate in this, I'm going to open the elements. Just pray God's blessing on them. And if you will, just come and grab both, and then you can go back to your seat, and we'll take that together. And so we just pray that. God, we pray your blessings over this time. Father, there's nothing special about the actual elements themselves, except the remembrance of how you've told us to share this meal together. And so we pray your blessings over the bread. We pray your blessings over the juice. And Father, way beyond just a physical element, we thank you for what it represents. It's us stopping within ourselves and stopping in the busyness of life and even the busyness of church. My goodness, forgive us, God, for the busyness of church sometimes that we can't stop and reflect and remember. Father, we stop and think we were on that hill that day with you. Maybe not in a physical sense, but our sins were present. We just stop now and we remember. Everything that we read in Scripture, not just a story, not just a fable to make us act a certain way, but a genuine, real event where God in the flesh died on our behalf. And your goodness this morning. Forgive us, God, when we don't stop and we don't remember it. Father, may this time be just pleasing to you. May it be worship and not just be something that's on the agenda today. May it be worship that we would remember. And so, Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. We pray that you bless it and it would be a blessing to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Anybody thankful this morning?
Amen. Amen.
Scripture tells us, Paul writing in 1 Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. Scripture goes on to tell us, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Amen.
Amen.
I'm thankful for today. I really am. I needed this, and I think God was pleased. And I want you to know that coming to a place like this in Scripture, it's real easy to leave and say, "Boy, I need to leave with this checklist. Do this, do that, do this, do that." Can I offer you some peace in that and let you know that what we just celebrated here is done? It's done. That doesn't mean there's not effort on our part, right? I mean, we know that. Like, we know we come to a place like today, and if the Lord's convicting you, then by all means, seek a way to repent. Seek a way to live more of a pleasing life. But it's done. It's done. And so rest in that today. Don't leave with a list of, boy, I got to do this, this, and this. Give it to me. Say, take it. It's done. Take it. But if you're like me, sometimes I do that, and I leave it. And I know I've said this before, but I'll catch no one looking, and I'll take it with me. That's not leaving. So just say that word today, done. Let's say it again, done.
Done.
So, finished. Man, I love y'all. Thank you for today. What an awesome time again. Let me just pray, and then we'll handle a few business matters and announcements and break this holy huddle. Go meet Jesus to somebody. Call up somebody that really has just peeved you off and bless them. Not bless them, bless them. Like bless them. All right? Let's do this. All things different today. If you're sitting next to someone, I don't mean to creep you out or anything. Grab their hand. Let's do that. Just grab their hand. That's cool. All right. Let's just pray together as a family. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this group. We thank you for just the time of worship today. I'm full. I thank you for that. I thank you for sweet remembrance. I thank you for those walls that fell. You promised that to me yesterday. I believe that's happened. I don't even have to hear about it to know that it happened. I trust you. I trust you that people have encountered you today. I trust you that people worship. And Father, again, we just thank you. We need you. We're a people that need you. We need you. Forgive us for trying to go through life. Maybe our words are not saying, but our actions acting like we don't. Forgive our arrogance. Forgive our pride. Give us humility. Give us grace. And just let us just remember that tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, that we need you. We need you every hour. We need you. We need to revise the song for me every second. I need you, and so help us remember that. We love you. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Awesome.